You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
They hide in alleys, abandon houses, fight over scraps of food, and live lives tragically cut short by disease, neglect, and misunderstanding. These are the oft-forgotten feral cat. My guest, Becky Robinson, is the founder and president of Alley Cat Allies. Promoting the health, welfare of all cats has been the mission of this unique organization of 500,000 supporters. Learn how you can help feral colonies, your local animal shelters, whether or not you're a cat owner. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Swipe It's a revolutionary new product that literally swipes away cat hair from virtually any surface. You know, most of us struggle with a roller or vacuum cleaner to clean up cat hair, but anyone who has tried either of these knows they just don't work very well. But Swipe It's patent pending glove has a magnetic like quality that removes cat hair from almost everything. And best of all, Swipe It's is machine washable, so you can use it over and over again. To order, just visit swipeits.com. That's SWIPEITS. A simple solution for shedding.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Ms. Robinson, thank you very much for being with us today. This is a subject that makes many people a little uncomfortable and also a bit sad. Who is Alley Cat Allies? What's your mission? Why did you start it?
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate this very much. Alley Cat Allies was formed 23 years ago, and we formed with the mission to dedicate our goals, dedicate our energies to saving and improving the lives of cats and kittens nationwide, and we are the only organization in this country that does that.
That's a lot of responsibility for one group. People oftentimes will see feral cats and they go, oh, they're cats. They can make it on their own. You know, they don't need any help. They're really good at hunting and they can get the mice and they can get birds. They can do all these things and they'll be just fine on their own. Is that a fallacy?
Well, the way that we started, that's actually our story, is that there needs to be so much more information available to the public about these cats, and they need to understand what we're talking about, what kinds of cats. And actually, the research, there's now 20 years later, two decades later, there's been a lot of research about cats that live outdoors, and that's what prompted us to start. There are millions of Americans who are helping outdoor cats. And when we formed, and we were just helping a group, a colony of cats in Washington, D.C., Alley, there were dozens and dozens of people that found us. This is way before the internet, and they wanted help. And they did not know where to turn because there was no resources for them. There was no veterinarians that would allow them to even bring in a cat that couldn't be touched, an unsocialized cat, and nor did they even know about humane box traps to properly catch them. So now, today, the good news is we just know so much more about these cats. There's programs that help them, and there's research that's been published about them, and there are house cats, and there are stray cats who were probably in a house at one time, and there are feral cats. They're unsocialized. Sometimes they're now referred to as community cats. But all of these cats are the same in terms of they're the same species. So a domestic cat is a domestic cat. And so they're not a different species that live outdoors, and it's not a new phenomenon. Cats have been living outdoors for thousands of years. They've been living around us. That's really, researchers believe that they actually domesticated themselves, as a matter of fact. So there's a lot that can be done, though. There's a lot that has been done. And I think that's what's important to note is that the grassroots, the individuals who care for these cats, and their own veterinarians, there's a whole movement that started, and it's alive and well, and it's an army of people, of veterinary professionals and laypersons who have created these programs and have completely made a difference. They've had a huge impact on the lives of these animals. And I can talk a little bit about some of those programs and what they do.
Well, let's kind of talk first about these cats. You're saying, yes, they're all the same species. I look at my own cats sometimes, and I have three. And there are times, you know, I've tried to give them a little bit of salmon that I've had for dinner, and they look at it, it's like, it didn't come out of a package. It didn't
quite
come
right
out of a can.
Yeah, right.
And I laugh and look at them going, you know, if you ever had to make it out on the street, you would not do it. So people, I think, oftentimes, oh, I have a cat and I don't like it anymore, or I, you know, just want to get rid of them. I know, I'll take it to the dairy. I'll take it to a farm or ranch or someplace and let it go, and it will do just fine. Talk about the truth or fallacy in that theory.
Yeah, well, there is. What happens is, and I probably should explain, what do I mean by these groups of cats? Is when you see these cats outside, there are all kinds of cats outside, meaning there's strays and there are house cats that someone might let indoor, outdoor, and then there's the feral cats that are living on their own. And so what people need to know is this word feral, it's not wild. They're not a wild species, and feral is a term applied to, like, the horses on Assateague Island that are living on their own. They're a domestic horse species. They are domesticated, but they are living on their own. And sometimes it does mean reverted to a wild state, but they're not a wild animal. And so feral cats do live on their own quite well, but cats that are let out, that intentionally let out and abandoned, they probably don't do well on their own. However, the programs, the interesting thing about this is, and this, it's illegal to abandon your cat, first of all. Let's just set the record straight on that. But the feral cats that are living on their own are unsocialized, and they are not going to be going in. If they go to a shelter, and millions of them do every year, they're not socialized to people, so they're not going to find a home. They're not adoptable. So those cats, it has to be a different program for them. Those people who think that their cat can survive outside on their own are probably wrong, meaning there are cats that join up with these colonies, but that's not a good idea at all. That's not sound. What people need to know is that there are programs for their cats if they, for some reason, can't keep their cat. They have to find out the programs that exist, and there are more and more programs every single day, because the good news is there are new programs being created to address the needs of all different kinds of cats, no matter what their socialization is, no matter what their needs are. So there are programs that can help people if they can't afford the food. There are food banks for cats and dogs, for pets. But to your point, no, abandoning is illegal and it's wrong. So the cats that are living outside on their own, the feral cats, are colonies in family groups of their own that have been out there. They're not spayed and neutered, so the kittens, the growth is coming from the new cats coming into it. It's from the new litters of kittens twice a year being born.
Great. Thank you, Becky. That was very good. So we have these colonies of cats that are living on their own. You're saying they're not socialized, and I think that's a nice politically correct way of saying you trap them, you bring them into a veterinary office, you try to treat them as the cute, fuzzy cat that it may appear to be, and these babies are scared out of their minds when they're in these traps. They become extremely aggressive sometimes just because they're trying to save themselves. They don't understand what that human is trying to do, going, honey, really, I'm trying to help you. It's like, nope, put me back out where I was. These colonies of cats, kind of talk about the dynamics of these colonies. So you have the queen, and you have the stud, and you have these kittens. It may seem idyllic that they're out there. What's the real reality of their life expectancy?
Well, that's what the research is showing, is that these cats live among themselves in family groups. Often when they're intact and when they're breeding, they're going to exhibit all those behaviors. And that's when the phone starts ringing. at a veterinarian's office or a shelter or the city, because they hear them fighting at night, mating. And they're also going to see people, residents are going to have litters of kittens under their porch or under their wood pile. So when they are fighting and mating and they're reproducing, this is not going to be the best of care for them. This is, on one hand, it's natural. They're doing what's natural, but we can improve their lives and we can improve their way of living around us. When we say they're not socialized, they're not socialized to people. They're socialized to each other. They're very bonded to each other, and they're very bonded to their habitat, to where they live, the environment. So many of them don't have a very wide range. Now, the males, when they're intact, they might have a range of a mile, possibly even 2 miles range, and that's a lot in a city. But they're going to pretty much stick close to home. They're going to find that food source, or they're going to find that habitat, that place to bed down. But here's the research. Here's the amazing thing about what we know 23 years later. There's a lot of published research to show that these cats can live as long as pet cats, and they do. We actually know now that there are colonies where the cats, like at Merrimack River, there on the riverfront was a group of cats, and they started spaying and neutering them in the early 90s. Now, that trap, neuter, return is one of the programs, and it's just like it sounds. You can humanely trap them with a box trap, take them immediately to a veterinary clinic. They're spayed or neutered and vaccinated for rabies. They're also ear-tipped while they're under anesthesia. That's to identify them because they can't wear a collar, and they're taken right back to the point of capture. When that's done, like at Merrimack River, those cats don't reproduce. There are no more litters of kittens, and the natural attrition means that the colony is going to stabilize and reduce over time. So at Merrimack River, almost 300 cats in around 1992, and now there are no cats. And those cats lived out their lives, and there was one cat left, I think, 3 years ago, Zorro, and he died. So when you introduce this type of care, the spaying and neutering is critical. That can improve their lives immediately. That's the number one thing that you can do. And the vaccinations, of course. So now when this is not done, of course the cats are going to reproduce. They're going to find, as those that understand any of the feline viruses, they're going to have a different kind of a life. And the females are going to constantly be reproducing, and that's very hard on them.
How many litters do they have per year?
In most areas, we know that they have 2 litters a year, and we all know they can have 3 to 5 kittens in one litter, and they can, within just a couple, 3 months, they can become pregnant again. In some areas, like in the South, they can have 3 litters a year. That's 3 times a year. So if you take that number, even if you say it's 3 kittens born, which is actually probably on the low end, sort of average on the lower end, that's 3, 6, 9 more cats born in that year to that one female. Now, the real issue when it comes to the lifestyle, the life expectancy for these animals is the kittens, because there's going to be a very high mortality rate, at least 50%
of them. What is it for about 50%?
It's going to be 50% for those in the first year of their life. So there is going to be this natural attrition for without the introduction of the neutering and the returning, the neutering and vaccinating and returning, but their lives can be so much better. And you can educate people, and that's what these programs that have been introduced. Alley Cat Allies has helped work side by side with professionals, with veterinarians and vet techs, and we've created the best practices. And now these programs, there are hundreds of these programs all over the country, and people are educated. Neighbors are educated. The veterinarians, the local veterinarians, the city is educated. And as a result, things are so much better in these areas where they've taken on this direction. They've embraced this, and they've looked at what they've wanted in their community, and they've implemented it. And their community is a different place for the cats now.
I'm talking right now with Becky Robinson. She's with Alley Cat Allies, the founder of Alley Cat Allies. We're going to be right back after this short break, learning more about feral cats, outdoor cats, and what we can do to make their lives better, and also our own cats' lives at home. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Every pet is unique. Maybe they're gray in the muzzle, yet young at heart. Maybe they're growing out of the puppy stage and into their paws and ears. Or maybe they're just trying to maintain a more girlish figure. At PetSmart, we have the right food for your pet at a great value for you. PetSmart. Be better together.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com and save up to 30% on pawsome gifts for the pets and pet people in your life. Toys, collars, leashes, PetSmart gift cards, treats, and more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com today. PetSmartDeal.com.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Ever wonder what it would be like to live in a perfect world for cat? I'm Pamela Merritt from The Way of Cat, longtime cat rescuer, full-time cat appreciator. Join me and my cats James Bond, RJ, Olwen, and Tristan in a perfect world.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Becky, trap, neuter, release, I know is a subject that people have strong feelings for one way or the other. About what percentage of these cats in a colony need to be neutered in order to stop population growth?
Well, the population, the introduction of these programs, the minute that you introduce the spay and neuter, and you can, here's what these best practices and these high volume programs, these high volume clinics have done for these professionals, these veterinarians and vet techs, and I can't stress enough how critical their role is. You can't have trap, neuter, return. You can't have TNR without the N. And no one can do the N except for the veterinarians and veterinary professionals to help create those clinics. So when you introduce that, that spaying and neutering, that trapping and taking them in, that's why these high volume clinics have been designed and created. Because if you were to just go out, like in the very early days, we did not have these programs. We did not have veterinarians that would allow us to bring in more than one cat at a time. So we would trap one of the females. By the time we could trap another one and go in, there'd be another litter of kittens. So the goal is that once this group of cats, this colony of cats is identified and there's a census taken on them, which can be done pretty quickly by the people who live in the neighborhood and look after them, they're all trapped at one time. The whole program allows for this. You can take in as many as 20 or 25 or even 30 cats at some of these clinics. The process is high volume and they have stations, and at the end of this, after one day, as many as 100 or 150 cats can be done depending on the veterinarians and the vet techs available. So to introduce spay and neuter for the entire colony is the goal. And if you introduce, of course, even for 50% of those cats right away, you're going to see it to start to stabilize. But the goal, of course, is to see that every single cat is spayed or neutered. And that means the females and the males. That's the goal. So it's a really very dynamic program, and it's very comprehensive. And when you go out into these neighborhoods, you're not just looking at those alley cats. You're talking to neighbors, and you're helping the people that live there also get their cats in. If they have their own cats and kittens that they've brought into their homes or that they've adopted, and they've never been to the veterinarian or they've never had them spayed or neutered, we see that that happens as well, that those cats get into surgery. And
that's a great community outreach. But what do you do, Becky, if you have a situation where you are a caring individual, there's a colony of feral cats, you want to help, but there isn't a facility that's doing these high volume spay and neuters? What can a person in that situation do?
Well, like so many others around the country, this is a grassroots movement. And those spay neuter days have been created by individuals. And that's really the story of Alley Cat Allies, and that's the story of so many of these feral cat trap neuter return groups, is that those individuals have approached their own veterinarian. And they've asked the veterinarian how they can create something, even if it's on a small scale, even if it's to address the group of cats, the colony of cats in that one neighborhood. You know, the resources are online. There's Operation Catnip has a manual on how to create these clinics and how to follow the guidelines. The Feral Cat Spay Neuter Project has a website as well with all these instructions. And basically the toolkit, it already exists, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you know, you're bringing up a good point. The other thing that's happened with those individuals where there's no resources and there's no programs, they've learned that they just can't simply go to their local shelter. So the good news is that the local shelters, there are new programs in many local shelters, in San Jose, in Philly, in Indianapolis, in Washington, D.C., in Arlington, Virginia, and 300 more. There's hundreds. But there might be shelters, the shelters in your area, that are following the practice that's been in place for almost 100 years, which is really just to remove the cats. They have people bring them in, or they have officers pick them up and trap them and remove as many as they can, and they bring them to the shelter. And of course, as I said, they're not socialized to people, so feral cats are euthanized. That's the term that's used. Of course, putting healthy animals down, of course, is not really the exact definition of euthanasia. That's why we say it's killing healthy animals. And this has been in place, this catch and remove and kill has been in place for decades, 100 years, and it's still in place. It's still what most shelters practice. But individuals, those citizens who support their shelters and they want them to embrace trap neuter return, they want them to embrace life-saving programs, they've approached them, they've introduced the idea of trap neuter return and asked them to support this program and create one. And that's what's happening now. So don't underestimate the power that an individual has. Don't ever, ever underestimate yourself and what you can do to influence others.
Are there areas that seem to attract colonies of cats? I know when I went to college, it seemed like there was just a plethora of cats roaming around the campus. And it's like, why? I couldn't understand it. And it just seems like, and I'm here in Southern California, one of our local beach areas, Wharf, there's a colony of feral cats that have set up housekeeping there. Any rhyme or reason to this?
Yeah, well, when you do remove the cats, more come in to the area, and it's referred to as a vacuum effect. So that's why the catching and removing and killing doesn't ever work, because it's, you have to keep repeating that cycle over and over again. Of course, it's costly, it's inhumane, and the cats are always going to find that same area where there's habitat, where there's a food source. They're coming back to an area where other cats found that it was attractive. So there are going to be areas. There's going to be, like in city alleyways, there's going to be what we throw out here in America. Our people here in the United States, Americans, throw out tons and tons of trash, and a lot of that includes good food that we haven't eaten or it's leftovers. So the same with a college campus, an urban alleyway. But, you know, cats, the truth is, feral cats can be found virtually anywhere in any kind of an environment. They're going to be more plentiful where there are people, but they're certainly also going to be in areas that are quite rural and remote.
With these cats, when people want to go out and feed them, is that helping the environment? Because as you're saying, there's food sources. So is that food source, the trash, the whelming individual that comes in with the bags of dry cat food? How are these cats affecting the environment? Because I know that's a real concern, thinking the number of songbirds are going to be decimated. Or in Hawaii, if there is a feral cat, that needs to be a owned feral cat. Somebody takes responsibility for fear that it's going to be destroying the wildlife there.
Well, this is where everyone can help out with the right information. The veterinarians, private veterinarians, shelters, anyone who gets the questions about these cats. You know, I think that's the other misconception that Alley Cat Allies works to dispel. You know, we're in the business of setting the record straight and helping people understand fact from fiction. And There are Americans feed cats. Nearly a quarter of Americans feed cats. 40% of people have fed a stray or feral cat in their lifetime. So there are millions of us, and what we need to do is support that effort with the programs. We need to back that up with the resources from our local animal control agencies and our shelters. And of course, that's where veterinarians come in. It's so crucial. They can play such a vital role in helping people understand that these cats are in our environment. They live there. They're not going to go away. And we have been removing them for, as I said, decades, for over 100 years, the practice has been just to remove them. And it doesn't work. You can't remove them. We're not going to eliminate them. We're not going to be able to save birds or other animals by killing more cats. So the whole thing that needs to be done, what is the solution, what's effective, what works and is humane, is the neutering and returning. TNR is what is the solution. And so we have to understand, no matter what it is that's going on in these environments that we all play a role in, and of course humans play a bigger role than any animal. We have, you know, overdeveloped, and we have obviously, we've taken away the habitat. That's the number one threat, and what's impacted birds and other animals, wildlife, is the loss of habitat. So what we need to do when it comes to cats is we need to look at cats of what's needed. The program that's needed to help them is to introduce the neutering and vaccination.
I know they're doing research right now, and it's, I believe, in the very near future, they're going to be releasing a product for dogs for chemical sterilization, and this is just for males, where a quote-unquote painless injection is given into their testicles. Hopefully, they're going to be coming out with a vaccine, better living through chemistry for cats as well as dogs and other animals that need to have population control, if we can do it in such a way that we'll be able to reach huge numbers so much more easily and maybe be able to make a much better impact on these feral cats and dogs. Is Alley Cat Allies involved with any type of research like this, funding research?
We're not involved directly. We're very well aware of it. It's being carried out by scientists like at the University of Florida, for example, Dr. Julie Levy. And we're aware of it, and we know that there are going to be, eventually, there will be products for cats, but they don't exist yet. And we hope that when they do become available, we do think that we can play a part in the field studies because, you know, the process of getting a humane box trap and going out and trapping an entire colony, whether you do that in one weekend or in several weekends, it's very labor intensive to drive those cats to a clinic. And sometimes, as you were pointing out earlier, those clinics are not going to be accessible or affordable, so you might have to drive a distance. That's a lot for a cat to go through. That's very stressful for them. The feral cats are very fearful, and that's the number one thing that we have to do, is reduce their stress and make it better for them. And also getting to larger numbers of cats to sterilize them. So when that product is available and we don't have to transport the cats, and this can be something that might be done out in the field, a shot even, some kind of a sterilization vaccination, if you will, if that can be done out in the field and the cats don't have to go anywhere and larger numbers of cats can be done in one day without any transportation, then that would be a great thing. But I think we're quite distant, a few years down the road for that. We're very hopeful that it would be sooner rather than later. But meanwhile, we will continue to create these high-volume spay-neuter clinics.
Well, Becky Robinson, we'll cross our paws that we'll be able to get such a vaccine, because it's going to help so many animals, not just here in the United States, too. I know the first time that I saw a colony of feral cats, I thought, wow, this was really kind of different. I was in the British Virgin Islands, and I saw all these cats with little tipped ears going, huh, I wonder if it's some type of a genetic defect or, you know, a genetic link that they all have these little ears, that just one ear was shorter than the other. And then it's like, duh. No, these cats, and this is before veterinary school, these cats had actually been trapped, neutered, and released. And as you were mentioning, that's the way that it was signified that it had been neutered, so it wasn't going to be trapped and put under anesthesia again. Becky, this has been really interesting, and I know so many people do care about our feral cat population. If my listeners wanted to learn more, where can they go?
Well, I would invite them to go to our website, which is alleycat.org. That's alleycat.org. And there's so many videos on there and photographs of what an ear tipped cat looks like. And there are clinic videos if anybody wants to log on and go to our videos page and actually watch a high volume spay neuter clinic in action. And of course, there's every other kind of information about how to carry out trap neuter return and how you tell the difference between a stray cat and a feral cat outside. So there'll be a lot of information at alleycat.org, and please, we invite you to go there and check it out.
Well, Becky Robinson, thank you so much. I've learned a lot, and hopefully my listeners have also. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Please listen next week, and we'll have more information, such as learning about alley cats next week, and find ways that you can be the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.